Well, amen. Thank you, Brother Steve. Now that we know you can sing as well as you can by yourself, amen. You done let the cat out of the bag, brother. Amen. Take your Bibles this evening and turn to the New Testament book of Philippians. The New Testament book of Philippians. Good to have you here this evening. Thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ as you attend Sharon Baptist Church. I know that the world has other plans and for this evening, but I thank you for coming and being faithful to the house of the Lord. In case you haven't heard, Brother John's sister had passed away, and he's homemaking, trying to make some arrangements of getting up there and what they're going to do as far as a funeral and things like that for his sister. She experienced a heart attack earlier, and they could not revive her as best that I got right now. So we'll be praying for Brother John and then also for Jonathan. That's his aunt as well, his auntie. So you pray for that family as they go through this time of grief. But as John has testified to me, that he believes his sister was saved, amen. So we know that she is in a better place, and that's just some very small measure of comfort in a time of physical loss of our loved ones. Let's look here in the book of Philippians. We're going to read just one verse, and you can probably pretty much just guess what that verse is in just a few moments. We're going to read Philippians 4 and verse number 13. When we think about Philippians 4 and verse number 13, it brings a great joy and great excitement, it should be, to your life as well. But as I began to meditate upon this verse the last couple of weeks and be thinking about it, I began to realize and understand this, that that word can't is the single most destructive word in the English language. And when you say that you can't do something, you're literally saying, and I'm admitting defeat. I can't do it. I'm defeated. You're making failure a reality in your life. How many times have all of us have been there, done that? Sometimes I go down and I take my car down to my brother-in-law's, and I just stay down there while he works on it. And sometimes the phone might ring, and he'll say, "See if you can get this nut off." And I say, "Well, if you can't get it, how am I going to get it, amen?" And so I begin to work on the nut, and then he has to look for a part and price it out, and 20 minutes later he comes out. He said, "Did you get that nut off?" I said, "I can't do it, Gary." He said, "What do you mean you can't do it? How'd you work on multi-million dollar airplanes that can't get a little nut off?" And he'll go in there, and he says, "Man, I just can't get this thing." I said, "Well, we got to pray about this thing." But see, oftentimes when we admit defeat, when we use that word, that we cannot do something, and can't could be very dangerous. And when you say you can't, you're simply giving up without a fight. You're walking off the field. You're turning in your uniform. Perhaps you're resigning your commission and you're admitting defeat, all without the battle even taking place. And you're simply saying this, I've lost, and it's not even worth trying it anymore. Now, you might lose a physical battle trying to get a nut off of a brake pad or whatever you're trying to do, but the truth is that you should never quit trying. We need to get rid of that word can't from our vocabulary. And for the most part, Philippians 4 and verse number 13 is an old friend to many of us. And we're very familiar with Philippians 4 and verse number 13. And you memorized it years ago. You learned about it in Sunday school. And every once in a while, the pastor may preach on Philippians 4:13. But the downside is, after all those years of hearing it and memorizing it and learning about it, we become so familiar with it that it's lost its power to amaze us, to challenge us, and even to encourage us, and yes, let me say this, to convict us as well. And this verse is God's wonderful message of encouragement and hope for all Christians for all times. So having said that, let's stand as to give respect to the reading of God's word, and we'll read that wonderful verse of Philippians 4 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." I want you to read that with me. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." I want you to read it one more time out loud with me. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Tonight I want us to look on this thought of that we can be can-do Christians. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow our hearts and our head and our knee before you, I pray, Father, and ask, Lord, that you would bless the preaching and teaching of your word. Oh, Father, we're thankful for the good day we've had here, souls saved and some baptized, Father. We're thankful for all the work that was done in hearts and lives of people, Father, who were not saved and were not baptized. But, Father, we come again tonight needy, Father, desiring to hear from heaven. So, Father, I pray that you would bless the preaching of your word. Father, would you fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Father, in my flesh, I cannot do this, Father. I understand that. I know that, Father. I need your enablement. I need the endowment from on high. So, Lord, I'm asking that you fill me. Father, be with your people again. Remind them of this wonderful verse, Father, that maybe has become stale and old in their life, but yet still alive for us today. So, Father, I pray that you would apply these truths to their lives, and we'll be better for it, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. When we think of a can-do Christian or a can-do believer, I see seven important truths in this verse and this one statement by the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi. Notice, first of all, the first statement, I understand, is it's a personal message. It's a personal message. Notice that first word of that verse. That first word is I. You know, we live in a day of pessimism. We live in a day of negativism. We live in a day of fear, and it's no wonder that we do. Everywhere we look, it's pessimists and negative things, and we're fearing things all over our life, fearing someone's going to break in, and fearing someone's going to steal our money, fear someone's going to hack into our account and spend all our retirement. And we live in a day and age here in America that's way, but the problems of the day seem virtually impossible to solve. When we look at it, listen, you and I can't solve the problems of this world. We can't solve the problems of hackers, but can't solve the problems of burglars. Sure, we can shoot them if they come into our home, and we can put up burglar alarm systems that perhaps keep them out of our home, but really, you and I cannot solve the problems of America today in our lives. And so as we think about that, we need to understand that this big world that we live in, that we call Earth, seems to swallow up people's bigness, in which a person involves themselves in this massive humanity. So it seems like individually this world just sucks us up, and we just become part of this world. I think about big government. I think about big business. I think about big problems. I think about this big world that you and I live in. They all seem to go against the importance of the single individual. But God doesn't go against us. As a matter of fact, he says in Philippians 4 and verse number 13, Paul uses these words. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Think about how much that God loved the world and died for all men. And he's concerned about one individual, and that is you and me. He's concerned about him meeting our needs. Notice the Philippians 4:13. If you study this verse, you just see that it begins and it ends with a personal pronoun. It begins with the word I and ends with the word me. Both of those are personal pronouns. And man can have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. God is concerned about you and I. He gives us a personal message when Paul writes, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Understand this, that God is never too busy to be concerned about me. Listen, we might think that God is too busy, has too much going on to worry about things in our life, but that's exactly the opposite. If that was the case, Paul would not have said what he said here in Philippians 4 and verse 13. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And so as an individual, even as we get sucked up into this big mass of the world and earth and humanity, God is still concerned about you and about me this very evening. Even after our salvation, it's necessary for you and I to have that personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is repeatedly emphasizing the scripture of being a personal person for you and I. So when we look at that verse, the first thing that I want you to understand is that it's a personal message. It's for me and it's for you, because Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Well, not only is it a personal message, but notice something else. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. It's a positive message. Paul wrote from a prison cell. Not only did he say, I, but what's the second word he said? Say it out loud. Can. So Paul writes, and he says, I can. When you think about the Bible, you think about the Bible being a book of do's and a book of don'ts as well. And it's but in essence, the essential message of the Bible is a positive one. It's a message of what God can and what God will do for us if we just let God work in our life, and what we can do for Him and others if we are willing to let Him work through us. Paul said, then he used that word, can. The basic requirement of walking with God is simply this, by faith. And if you think about it, faith is a positive attitude that you and I ought to have. And I want you to understand tonight that faith is so positive and faith is so powerful that Jesus said just a little bit of faith could move mountains. I'm reminded of what he said in Matthew 17 and verse 20, the last part of that verse. He said this, if you have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto the mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. The Apostle Paul was looking out and he said, man, what a powerful message that is. It's a positive message. And he said, just a little bit of faith, Jesus said, can make mountains move from here to there. You see, faith is a positive attitude towards God. Faith is a positive attitude towards God's Word. And when we think about it, with God and His Word, the Bible says nothing is impossible. It's no wonder that the Apostle Paul could say, I could do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. His message was powerful. His message was positive. With that kind of God revealed in the Bible and His promises laid out for you and I that are found in that same Bible, every child of God can authoritatively stand this evening and say, I can, based upon God's Word and His will for our life. Boy, what a God that is. What a God that is revealed to you and I. And just like the Apostle Paul, we Christians who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, who have been saved and born again, were empowered by Him, can decisively say as well, I can. What we need today is a bunch of Christians who would look at their life and get in conformity to the will of God and to the Word of God of their life, claim Philippians 4:13 as a positive attitude in their life and say, based upon God's Word, I can whatever He has for you to do in your life. I can be what God wants me to be. I can do what God wants me to do. I can go wherever God asks me to go. I can speak with His power and with all authority as God asks me to do that, because the Bible says I can. No Christian should ever be affected by and afflicted with the disease of negativism. You know, we get to be such down-in-the-mouth Christians, and we get to have a negative attitude in our life. Listen, if you have a negative attitude like that, something's wrong in your life. Listen, fall on your face and ask God what is going on in your life. Ask Him to reveal it. I can guarantee you this, that probably somewhere down the way, God will reveal some sin in your life that has caused you to be sidetracked with God, sidetracked with brothers and sisters, sidetracked with the church, and you'll find that you're living in a negative lifestyle. We ought not to be that way. Paul says, I can. He wasn't afflicted with the disease of negativism. He said, I can. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And the same goes for every other true, born-again child of God, as Paul could stand under the authority of the Holy Spirit of God and say, I can. You and I as well can stand and rise to our feet, and we can say, I can. Boy, notice, not only did Paul say it was a personal message and it was a powerful message, but notice, thirdly, it's a purposeful message. Notice what else he says in Philippians 4 and verse 13. He says, I can, and then he says this, do. It's a purposeful message. You know, having the right philosophy is necessary, but it's not enough. You know, we're not only to believe right, but as we believe right, guess what? We must also do right and live right. And I told you that's the do right brothers, living right and doing right, the right brothers. And having the right philosophy and having the right thought is great, but it's not enough. We have to transform that into doing. Faith is not passive. Our faith should never be passive, but it's an active virtue. A faith that saves is a faith that works as well. For faith it is, he hath not works is dead, being alone. We find that a faith is an action. It's an action verb. It's an action virtue. And our faith ought to move us to do some things. If you think about Hebrews chapter number 11, the first thing you think about is the Heroes Hall of Faith. And that's what some believers call that, the Heroes Hall of Faith. And I like that. I think that's a good terminology for that chapter. But you ever notice this, that every person that's mentioned at Hebrews chapter number 11 is, first of all, they're admired for their what? Their faith. Because the Bible says, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. But after they get to the by faith, guess what? Their faith moves them to action, and we find that their faith is moved into works. Think about Paul. Paul not only was a believer who had faith in Jesus Christ, but the Apostle Paul was a doer as well. Think about Jesus when he rebuked his disciples. He asked them this in Luke 6 and verse 46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? You see, Jesus was concerned about this as well with his disciples. He was concerned that all they had was the faith, but never moved them to action. And our faith ought to move us to action. The Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The Christian life ought to be one of purpose. Listen, we are not saved just to sit, soak, and sour. God has a purpose for us. He has a calling for us. Guess what? Let me help you this evening. He has something for you to do for him that nobody else can accomplish in a way that you would have accomplished it. Now listen, I'm not so naive to believe this, that if you're here born again and you don't really do anything for Christ and there's something God has for you to do that's not going to get done. I'm not saying that. I'm just simply saying this, that God has something for you to do that only you can do to the best of God's ability and the best of God's will for your life above anybody else. So what are you saying, Pastor Dave? I'm saying, listen, the Apostle Paul said, I can, then he said, do. And I think we ought to get off our cans and start doing some of the doing just a little bit, amen. And I know that I believe that we're probably preaching to the choir here on Sunday evening, but man, you know what? The truth still needs to be taught and still needs to be preached, that well, we need to get off our can and start the doing part of it. Start making our faith alive inside of ourselves. The Christian life, again, is one of purpose, and that purpose ought to be to fulfill God's plan for your life. And whatever God has called you to do, why don't you just start doing it? He'll provide you with everything that you need to accomplish that task that he has called you to do. Understand this, according to Philippians 2 and verse number 13, that he will not only work in us, the Bible says, to will, but also to do of his good pleasure. So God will use you to bring about a pleasure to himself. And then the Bible said, teaches us that God gives us the desire to do and the dynamic by which we can do it. Amen. So he puts that desire in us. Paul says, I can. That's a desire. And then the dynamic is too. And so within inside of each and every one of us ought to be a desire and a dynamic to do what God would have us to do. As Christians, here's the trouble. We often flee the will of God. We're afraid of God's will for our life. We're thinking this, that if I surrender to do God's will for my life, I'm going to be a missionary to the Antarctic. Listen, you may or may not be, but I can promise you this, if that's what God wants and you don't surrender it to you, you're never going to have peace, as my son spoke about this morning. And listen, until you get that right and surrender yourself, listen, you're not not going to have peace in your life. So why don't you just go ahead and figure out what God would have you to do and say, okay, God, I can't figure it out. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm going to trust you to do it. And you're going to say, I can. And then you're going to be the tip of the dynamic and say, do, I'm going to do it. Notice that God never wants us to be fearful of what his will is, nor does he want us to flee from the will of God. And oftentimes we do that because we feel inadequate. And I think Pastor James spoke about that this morning in Sunday school. It might have been this morning's message. We feel inadequate. We feel insufficient for the task. And so we're thinking, well, man, what if God asked me to do this big thing and I don't know how to do it? You don't know me. I can't talk in front of everybody. I can remember when I surrendered myself to do whatever God would have me to do. I came to the altar and said, God, and literally, this is what I told God, I'm just a bag of bones, and you know me, you know, and that scares me to think that God does know me, and he does know me. But I said, God, you know me. But God, I don't know what I could do for you, God, but I'd be willing to do whatever you would have me to do. And I literally, honestly, meant it that day as I bowed my heart and knee at the altar of Victory Baptist Church in Steeple Aston, England. I said, God, I will do it, whatever it is. And little did I know, not too much down the road, God said, I want you to preach the gospel. And I said, God, not that. Not that. How about something else? Is there something else I can do for you? We need a bus captain here. I'll do that. I began to have a little quibbling time with God. And God said, really, to my spirit, I thought you said that you would do whatever I asked you to do. And I said, but God, not that. I can't talk in front of people. God, I can't even read. I almost failed English. I don't know the Bible. And he said, that's okay. I know it. Literally, to my spirit, that's what he said. You don't have to know it. I know it. I'll teach it to you. What am I going to say? So I said, okay, God, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He will enable you to do anything and everything that he asks you to do. Well, this verse is not only a personal message or a powerful message, it's a purposeful message, but notice also it's a persuasive message, a persuasive message. Paul said, I can. And notice what he adds. He adds the ending, and I like this term, an all-encompassing phrase. Not only do, but he adds two more words to it, all things. So Paul says, I can do all things. Do you think Paul meant that if he would flap his arms up and down so quickly, he'd be able to take off and fly? That's what he said. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Do you think Paul meant that if he's standing flat-footed, he could jump up and slam a basketball and just dunk it right down in? You think that's what he meant? But Paul said, God, he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Do you think he meant that Paul could walk outside the temple, the temple, and just jump up like Superman and jump over to the other side? No, that's not what he meant. Of course, that's not what he meant. When the Apostle Paul says, I can do all things, he's speaking about in the context of Christ's will for his life. And when we say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, it's speaking in the contents of Christ's will for your personal life. Whatever Christ has for you to do, he will supply the power. You don't have to worry about having strength to do it. He says, I will give you strength to do it. Did he mean he could do everything and be everything in a literal sense? No, of course not. Paul did not mean that at all. What Paul meant was that he could do all things that God commanded him to do. Let me just say this. If God commanded you to jump over the house, guess what? He would empower you to do that. But if you told me he did that, I'd tie you up and send you down to the state hospital to get checked out, amen? Listen, but I'm telling you, if God truly told you to do that, you would have the ability to do that, amen? Because the Bible's still true, and God is still a truth speaker. Paul meant that he could do all things that God had commanded him to do. He could do everything that God expected him to do. And guess what? You and I can as well as his children. Understand this evening, this simple truth. God will never require you to do anything that he will not enable you to do. He'll never ask you to do something that he hasn't already made a way for you to accomplish it. You say, well, I don't see it. You don't have to see it. Step out by faith and see where God is going to take you. It's a persuasive message. He said, I can do all things. If he tells us to pray, guess what we ought to do? We ought to pray. If he exhorts you to give, guess what you ought to do? You ought to give. If he exhorts you to be a witness to someone who needs Christ, guess what you ought to do? You ought to be a bold witness. If he exhorts you to walk right and live right, guess what? You can do it because it will empower you to do that. God will never demand his children to do anything that doesn't make sense or is unreasonable. God will never ask you to do anything unreasonable. And listen, even when our own reasoning is staggering, we don't understand. Listen, God is still God, and we have to believe him what he would have for us to do. I think of Romans 12 in verse number 1. This is what God expects out of you and I. He only asks that which is our, remember this in this verse, our reasonable service. And so what God would ask you to do something would be within your reasonable service. Paul can emphatically stand and cry out to the church at Philippi, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And not only can Paul say that, but you and I can say that as well. It's a personal message, a powerful message, a purposeful message, a persuasive message. Then notice fifthly, it's a precise message. Notice the next wordings, through Christ. Let's look at Philippians 4 and verse 13 for a moment. Let's look down and read that very slowly with me. The Bible said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So let's look after the word Christ. I can do all things through Christ. As you look down there at your Bible, as we think about a precise message, do you see a period after the words all things? Is there a period there? No, there's no period there. So in other words, I by myself, left to myself, can do nothing to please God. Notice it says, I can do all things through Christ, which the sentence continues on, which strengtheneth me. On my own, with me, myself, and I am nobody. But with him, it's my reasonable service. My strength is drawn from him. Jesus also said in John 15 and verse number 5, everything that God expects of me is only possible, get these words, through Christ. So listen, my friends, if you think you get the big head and you think you could do it on your own, you cannot do it. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. I can't do it through meditation, even on God's word. I can't do it through education. I can't do it through perspiration and by hard work. I can't do it by harder preparation. Only thing I can accomplish is only through Jesus Christ. Christ is the one who makes it all possible. Without him, you and I can do nothing. Present day advocates of positive thinking, they fail to stress this, the sufficiency of the absolute necessity of Christ doing all things. It's not you and I doing all things. It's him. It's Jesus doing all things. If you and me, in you and me, guess what? There's nothing but failure. There's nothing but heartache. There's nothing but defeat. But in Christ Jesus, there's nothing but victory. Now bring these two facts together, our failure and his strength. In Christ, we are linked up with God's omnipotent power. Remember, God is within us and enabling us and empowering us to victory through that Holy Spirit of God. Listen, friends, through Jesus Christ, you and I can do everything that God expects us to do. You and I can do everything that God wants us to do. We can face anything that he wants us to face. No trial or tribulation is too big that we can't face it. We can fight every battle that God wants us to fight. We can obey every command that he expects and desires for us to obey. We can endure every trial that comes our way, and we can overcome every temptation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, the key is not in our strength, but in his strength. And when Paul said that he could do all things, he meant all things which were God's will for him to do. He had learned that the Lord's commands are always the Lord's enablement. You see, this wasn't Paul's first rodeo. He learned a long time ago, almost immediately after his salvation, that where God calls, he equips, and where God commands, he enables to carry out that command. And we see this verse of Philippians 4 and verse 13 is a powerful message. It's a personal message. It's a purposeful message, a persuasive message, and a precise message. But then notice, it's also a powerful message. I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse number 18. He said, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth." Now think about that for just a moment. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Understand this, that all of our powers, all the believer's power, all the power of a born-again believer or strength is borrowed power. It's not our power. You see, we don't have to have any power. And just about the time you get to thinking you have some power, it's about the time that God shuts off the power and you have no power and you find out that all power comes from Him. Even from the Old Testament prophet Zechariah in Zechariah chapter 4, he understood where the power came from. He said this, "Not by might or not by power," speaking about human might or human power, "but by my spirit saith the Lord of hosts." Zechariah understood where his power came from. The Lord Jesus Christ understood where power came from. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And that's the meaning of this phrase, "Through Christ which strengtheneth me." In Christ, He's the one that provides the power. He's the one that provides the might. He provides us with the ability to do His good pleasure. For every task that He asks us to do, He provides the strength. He's our enabler. And even as Paul said, "When I am weak," in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 10, he said, "Then am I strong, for God's strength is made perfect," Paul says, "in my own personal weakness." Yes, through Jesus Christ and His strength, we can do all things. Well, notice lastly, not only is it a powerful message, but notice it's a perpetual message. Notice the last statement of that verse. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." You know, the power of Christ is available to Christians continuously today, and guess what? Every day after this day. And it never ends and it never stops. You see, the final part of Philippians 4 in verse number 13, if you were to study the Greek, you will find it's in the continuing present tense in the Greek language. And giving us that meaning that He keeps on giving me strength. His strength is without end. Every day that strength is renewed. He's given me all the resources that are needed to accomplish His will that He has commanded you and I to do. This is the message that keeps on keeping on and keeping on. It's a message that never gets interrupted. It's a message that goes unending. It's a message that has continuance, that never ends and never stops. He said this, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." A continuing work of God deep inside your heart and your life. God is all we need. We ought to desire to have Him continually working in us. You know, this great verse, Philippians 4:13, can be claimed by every one of His children. This verse isn't written down just for the Jew, just not for the Gentile. It's not written for the Old Testament saints or the New Testament saints. It's written down for everyone. There's application here for you and I. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." It's not just for some select group of saints who want to preach the gospel. It's just not for some select group of missionaries. It's not for just some Sunday school teachers or some deacons or some soul winners. It's for you and it's for me and it's for all of us if we make this application to our life. Unbelief says, "I cannot." Previous failures in our life says, "I cannot." Past experiences oftentimes say, "I cannot." The example of fellow Christians many times say, "I cannot." Satan will tell you and he'll tell me, "I cannot," and "you cannot. But faith tells us something different. Faith says this: I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Turn that statement into a believing, fervent, persistent prayer in your life. Count upon God to making that verse come real into your life. Let me close with this illustration and then we'll be done. There's a story that we often heard of as little children. It was called The Little Engine That Could. And many of you might remember that. And it's charming and, let me say, encouraging. But let me just say this, it's worldly and not at all biblical whatsoever. There are two important differences between that story and our text here in Philippians 4:13. In the story, the little engine says, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. But guess what the Apostle Paul says? He said, I know I can, I know I can, I know I can. What makes the difference? The little engine was relying on his own power to get over top of that mountain. But we have an available resource and power of an infinite God. And that's the difference between I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And Paul is saying, I know I can, I know I can, I know I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. The spirit of our faith says, I can do. That is positive. That is a confident spirit that we have. The scope of our faith says all things. And this encompasses every area of our life. And just not spiritual things. It encompasses the material part of our life, the physical part of our life, all those things that fall under God's will for our life. And then lastly, the source of our faith says, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Father, as we bow our head and our hearts this evening, Father, we come before you, Father, looking at Philippians 4:13. And I think, Father, most of the time we look at it from a worldly point of thought, and we're like that little engine that says, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. But the Apostle Paul, Father, doesn't say that. He says, I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things. And oh, Father, we find ourselves as your children, Father, not living confidently in your word. Oh, Father, we try to make it through this world, Father, by our own power, by our own might. We try to stumble through this world just barely making it. We try to stumble through this life, Father, by what power our flesh can muster up. But, oh God, as we saw here tonight, Father, it's not by my might or by my power, but it's by your Son's might and your Son's power. So, Father, I pray that you would have taken this simple truth from Philippians 4:13, and you have taken it and placed it inside the heart of each believer that's here. And God, may they be encouraged, Father, to live confidently and positively for you. May they understand that the spirit of our faith says, I can do this. It's a positive thing. The scope of our faith, Father, says all things, and that encompasses every area of our life. And lastly, the source of our faith says, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Help us this evening, Father, to understand that our power doesn't come from us, but comes from you. Father, would you speak to the hearts of your people that are here tonight? Perhaps, Father, there'd be someone here who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that this might be the evening when they receive Christ as their personal Savior. Father, challenge us according to your word and according to your will for each of our lives. And Father, we'll be careful to give you praise and honor and glory, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Let's stand to our feet, please, with every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder this evening, has God chosen to speak to your heart? It's not, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. It's a positive and powerful statement. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You can sow in. You can give. You can go. You can do. How do you know, Pastor Dave, I can do those things? Because all those things are in God's will for your life. And And Paul's determination when he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, was all those things. And according to God's word and his will for your life, you can do them. Maybe you're here and need to be saved. You can do it. You can step out of the pew. Come forward right now. Let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved. You can do it. You can begin to serve him here. Maybe God has a place of service for you. He's been speaking to your heart about that. You can do it. Oh, but not in your flesh. But you can do it, as the Apostle Paul said, which Christ strengtheneth me. What does God have for you? What a wonderful, powerful verse. Sometimes it becomes so familiar that we forget about really how God can use that in our life. What about you? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.